The Screen Lawyer Podcast is brought to you by Cape Sokol Attorneys at Law.
On this week's episode of the Screen Lawyer Podcast, I'm really excited to be joined by my friend, my former extern, and now my colleague, again, Danny Durbin. Danny, welcome.
Thank you, Pete. I'm so excited to be here.
It's going to be a blast. Stick around.
Welcome to the Screen Lawyer Podcast, at the intersection of the entertainment world, intellectual property law, and emerging technology, where we discuss legal and business issues surrounding any type of content that ends up on your screens. I'm your host, Pete Salsic, the Screen Lawyer.
Hey there. Welcome to the Screen Lawyer Podcast. I'm Pete Salsic, the Screen Lawyer. And today, I am joined by my friend, my former extern, law student, colleague. Then she went away, now she's back. So I was going to say, Danny, welcome to the Screen Lawyer Podcast, but I really sort of have to say, welcome back.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good, and that's actually kind of been a theme from coming back to Cape Sokol is I'm back.
That's right.
And it's
that's
exciting.
Right. It's right. It's really like everybody's, whoa, Danny's back. You know, so I don't know, there's like a song in there or something. We're working on that.
But, yes.
but it's great to have you. And it's fun. You know, we got a chance to work together first years ago, right?
Yes.
When you were a law student.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
So, and I actually don't know if I've ever told you this part of the story,
but you had
a student above me, like a year above me in law school originally as an extern. And I, remember hearing about her experience working with you. And then I can't remember if you, it was all good. Otherwise, and then you had also, I think like spoken at our law school on the case that you did with respect to Warner Brothers and the tattoo artist.
Oh, sure, sure.
And I was like, I have got to be his extern. And I remember actually like when I signed up for the class, I think I was like, can my sign up essentially be conditioned on like, I want to work at Cool Fire with Pete Salsic. And then that happened. And then I feel like throughout our careers, we've kind of just ended up bumping back into each
other. Yeah, that's true. I did not know that. Sorry. That's kind of cool to hear. Yeah. It was really fun. When I was in house, at Cool Fire Studios, St. Louis University reached out because they have that corporate counsel program, right? And they place students in-house departments to get a feel for what it's like to practice on behalf of a company where you're really part of the company team as opposed to they're your client. There's a there's a connection when you're in-house somewhere that's different.
It's
a different,
different
type of equality, right? And you've since had that experience yourself, which we'll talk about. But yeah, it's been great fun. And I get to have a student each semester and, you know, they kind of see the business and work together. And that's where we first met. And I remember, you know, there was a lot going on at that time. And, you know, in different semesters, there's different things going on.
Right.
You were pretty busy, if I remember.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because there were so many different aspects of the business that they were getting into, which was exciting. And then also, I didn't realize this, but I thought you go to law school and then essentially, like, they pop out attorneys that are all the same. You might practice different areas, but they all kind of have the same philosophy. And you really have actually informed how I practice law because of your approach to it. The whole idea of, like, we shouldn't be using language, like, wherefore or thereof. You want language that clients can actually understand.
Yeah.
Because they have to be able to understand what they've agreed to so that they can actually execute on it.
I think I'm flattered that you took that from me because I learned that from people who taught me, you know, that, and that's what we do, right? That's how we evolve in the practice. You know, and I agree with you. I think that that's a really important part. When we were first starting and you were kind of there still fairly early on, you know, getting into the, we were doing reality TV agreements and network agreements. And I remember, you know, the first time doing it, like, I know that we need these rights. I know that we need this potential talent or subject of the show to grant us certain rights for certain periods of time. So I kind of knew what needed to be in there, but I didn't have a lot of examples of forms to do. So remember, we just drafted the first couple of talent option agreements and co-development shopping agreements, things that now roll off the top, right? But at the time, like, okay, I think we need one of these. And I remember just ultimately well, we need these words, and then we need these words, and we need these words. So let's put them all in there. And then we sent it off, right, to a big entertainment attorney in L.A. or New York, right, or Nashville. And I remember dreading, like, are they going to come and just vomit all over this thing? Like, you don't know what you're talking about. And they didn't. They just came back with, you know, they might redline or have some changes of terms. But it was a validation. Like, look, the contract is a good contract because it just says what it needs to say.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't have to be a particular form. Yeah. And I think that's a really valid, and that's been continued to be true.
Yes. You know? And not all attorneys practice that way.
No.
And so I have really appreciated that and have tried to keep that with me in my practice. Because clients really, if they want to be able, they're wanting to agree to something, right?
Yeah.
So they just want that reflected in words.
Yeah.
And that's basically what.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't know we were going to go deep dive into contract drafting. But actually, no, it's cool. Because I think that's one of the things that is, you know, when you work with creatives, when you work with talented people, which we get good fortune to do, they're looking to us to take one of the spinning plates in their head out of their hands so they don't have to focus on it.
Right.
But they're entrusting us to make sure it doesn't come back later to have some clause they didn't understand. And, you know, a lot of times it's not what we as a lawyer can get them better terms, but we can make absolutely certain that they really do understand what they've agreed to and can continue to use, you know, particularly if we're creating something that they can use again and again, that it's something that they have the confidence in themselves.
Exactly.
So, well, that's cool. So, yes. So you know, bring us forward now. So that was, you know, okay, great law school. But then you came to Cape Sokol.
Yes.
And you practiced here for a while and before I came, which was kind of cool. Then we joined each other. So bring us up to date. What's happening? Because you took a detour for a little while.
Yes, I took a slight detour. And I started actually as a summer associate at Cape Sokol. So I pretty much grew up here.
Yeah.
And I feel like I left home for a little bit. You know, like went off to college or something, didn't like it. And then decided to
now you're back
to
in the basement. Exactly. Now you're back in the basement, you know.
Exactly,
oh,
yes.
Oh, goodness.
But paying rent now, you know, like there's an elevation there.
Yes, absolutely.
But when I started, I knew, especially because I feel like it was not too long after I was actually hired. So after I was a summer associate, that they then hired you. Mm-hmm. And so I knew, even though I was doing business and real estate, kind of a corporate practice, that I was really interested in intellectual property, entertainment and media, mm-hmm. after having that externship with you at Cool Fire. And so you coming on basically allowed me then, because you were expanding that practice, to essentially split my time. Now, that's not what every day looks like, but if you look at it on the whole, I do quite a bit of entertainment and media, intellectual property, but then I also do a lot of corporate.
Well, and so then you worked here for 3 years or so, something like 3 or 4 years? Yeah.
About.
And then you left about a year and a half ago.
Correct. And then I went to an international advertising conglomerate and I was in-house counsel there. And so that was also us both having in-house counsel experience, kind of almost circling back to the contract stuff. But it's like having that insight into like a singular business has then kind of, I feel like, also informed the insight that I want into our clients, since we aren't with our clients, we aren't in their business every day.
Right.
So it was helpful in that way, but I missed the diversity and kind of the different excitement of practicing in different groups with different people and different clients. And so I have stayed in touch with so many people here, including you. And it's funny because when we first talked about coming back, I was at a dinner with Sarah Loom. Mm-hmm. She's a colleague of ours here at Cape Sokol. And we were there with her husband and we were talking about how much we loved working together. And her husband had asked if I would ever come back. And I said, absolutely. And Sarah, I guess, kind of brushed it off. And then later in the car, apparently Patrick, her husband, had said, I think she was serious. And so then conversations flowed from there. And now I'm back.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. So while you were in-house, though, were you, what were you, like, what was the role? What is the role of an advertising attorney? I don't know if that's the right term. I mean, certainly you have a significant advertising work in your practice.
Right.
So what kind of things were you doing, just in general?
So we the way that essentially our company had worked was there were different practices, almost kind of like a law firm that you could be a part of with respect to the advertising needs. And so essentially what I was doing was a lot of the media buying.
Okay.
So when somebody, so you have a client wanting to purchase, let's say, a commercial or a radio spot, or what we call out of home, so right. a billboard. And I was negotiating contracts for okay. those clients. And then also influencer agreements, sweepstakes.
Yeah.
So, and I've had experience with right. you doing the influencer and sweepstakes. So it was fun to kind of get more insight into advertising. Yeah. And now I'm back with that knowledge.
Oh, yeah. That, to me, that's so. The, I think there's almost like a, you know, going to have that experience. And I did, was in-house for about 5 years. And that was, you know, and I back into a practice where I work with clients like that. And I learned that I wanted to replicate all of the cool stuff about that experience for other clients and other relationships. But I wasn't going to go, as you said, I wasn't going to go have an office in their building. But you still, there's something about that process, I think, that gives you an approach or a way to think about the business as we are, our job as the lawyers for the creative businesses is to help them, as you said, sign, do the deals they want to do.
Right.
Achieve the things, you know, put this stuff out there, make the film, run the, whatever the, whatever it is, right? And so our job isn't to say, no, you can't do that. And they'll just yes. ask somebody else and pretty soon we'll be out of the office.
Oh, absolutely.
But we have to say, yes, you can do this. And here's how you do it right.
Exactly.
Or whatever, right? And when you get that, and for you, maybe one of the cool things that you've mentioned is that by, even though the one part that after a while you wanted more diversity and not doing sort of the same thing over and over again, and I know it wasn't always the same, but you, when you do something a lot, you get really good at it.
Right.
And you get really efficient and you get insight into that, that there's no way you, if you just had a regular practice and you were doing that and that and that and that, it would take a number of years to build up all those in any one. But when you go spend some time in-house, you really get a chance to grow those muscles really strongly.
It is actually quite crazy because we're talking about, you know, just set changes in a sentence and how that kind of impacts the business. Mm-hmm. And we don't always get so granular when we're doing it as something every few months.
Right.
And so it being day to day and you constantly have those business needs in mind, you are looking at every word. And that's not to say that that's not what we're doing, but it's just different in a way because you have better insight into how it's going to impact. And so that's why I also love developing such great relationships with clients. And I know you do the same because when they feel like they are able and free to talk to you, that's when you can elicit kind of the best information usually.
For sure. Absolutely. And you've had some interesting clients in that. I mean, one of the things that I just to the point you made just a minute ago, you are part of the email exchanges that you've had recently with one of our clients, helping them get a better structure to some advertising rules that they have in place and things like that. And I'm just watching the emails going back and forth with your exchange. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so glad Danny's here because I think I know this stuff pretty well. You went into a level with the client and got the response from the client. It was really cool to almost watch it in real time. And I could tell that that was a function of you're just bringing a whole nother level of knowledge there that you've expanded and added to your toolkit, which is fantastic.
Right. I know in a law firm, I feel like we may use our lingo, so like legalese.
Right.
But having worked in-house, I adapted to using essentially like the business terminology to that business. And I feel like that builds such credibility.
It does.
And
absolutely.
So that's, I feel like, essentially what occurred.
Yeah.
Is speaking their lingo. And then she was like, ah, okay, I understand what she's asking here.
Right. Right. And I probably would have fumbled a little bit more in my emails and everything else. So
everybody, I don't believe it.
Everybody wins. Well, that's cool. So, but, you know, we had a chance to work a couple of years ago when we've had the St. Louis Blues win the Stanley Cup. The Cardinals are in the playoffs or All-Star game and things like that. And you got a chance very early in your career with a really fun, cool client that you have. to be right in the middle of all that craziness. Right. Tell us about that story a little bit.
Well,
and one, I realize you may not be able to mention there's confidentiality right. and things that we always have to pay attention to.
Yes.
Even here on the Screen Lawyer Podcast, we are lawyers and our confidentiality obligations are true.
Yes.
But we can tell some things.
Right. A watered down war story, if you will. But I will say, so that was another, I think it also happened not too long after you'd officially joined.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't been here, because you've also had experience in negotiating those deals where once, especially like when you have a huge game like that, so like the Stanley Cup, the World Series, people obviously look at that as a way to make money, you know, and profit off of it. And I'm not just talking about the people who have the right to do it.
Right,
so the
exactly.
people who don't always have the right to do it. And so you see a lot of infringing work coming about.
So like the merchandising, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, all of a sudden there's three guys with some folding tables that clearly just got out of the back of a truck and they've got tons of t-shirts and hats and stuff
right.
that they're selling and they're ready to pack up and roll.
Yes. And I feel like what they don't always realize is these companies, so the MLB, the NHL, they have people that they send to these events to basically spot out
yeah.
these infringers. And so that's usually how they're caught.
Right.
So we were dealing with a case with respect to that. And it's so funny. We talk about how long ago it was, but we actually, it was finally wrapped up about 3 months ago.
Wow.
The final terms of the settlement and ended up becoming really good friends with the attorney on the other side, which is helpful in
yeah,
negotiations.
It is. There is, you know, I don't think there's really ever a reason not to be kind and professional.
Right.
Sometimes your client wants you to have a voice that's
yes.
a little harsher than you might otherwise have.
Right.
And sometimes we have to essentially be in that role. We are advocates for our clients first and foremost. But as you said, most of the time we're just trying to get something resolved. And sometimes you have an opportunity, I think, as the attorney to get your... The terms are going to be what the terms are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're appearing reasonable, you can pull some reasonableness from the other side.
Oh, yes.
But if you're unreasonable from the start, you're not going to get anything from the other side.
I completely agree. And I actually, the XFL, I had a deal with them their first go round.
Okay.
So I know they kind of.
Ka-caw! For all you Battlehawks fans, just this. I'm sorry, I got to just go off here a
yes,
little bit
do
on
it.
The tiebreaker system they have to see who gets in the playoffs, some combined. Anyway, the Battlehawks got edged out. But anyway, best audience in the XFL.
St. I believe Louis.
30,000 plus per game. Okay. Back to
that
what you were
amazing.
Saying.
No.
Anyway.
And is the law.
That's for you, Sandy, and you know who you are. Okay.
So,
yeah,
I love
right.
it.
The law.
I know.
Okay, sorry, we're good. Totally riff on
it. No, right. I love it. So, it was interesting because it was another licensing deal,
yeah.
okay? But this time properly licensed. So, it wasn't a client going off on their own and deciding
right.
to use someone else's logo or branding. And so, in this instance, we had taken a really reasonable approach because, one, it's not only beneficial, like in your, basically in what
right.
you said, that the other side's going to be hopefully reasonable back, but it's also cost efficient for the client
sure.
to not be battling over things that in the end we know we may not win or they might not
right.
move on. So we did that, and the attorney at the end of it basically came back and said, you all have been the most reasonable attorneys that we have worked with on deals like this and just appreciate it,
yeah.
it so much. And that was really cool to hear.
Isn't that?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. That is when you get that kind of, because then that gives you, you likely encounter whether it's that particular attorney or something in that sphere again. And then the next time you're like, oh, I worked with Danny before. She's terrific. She's easy. You know, the circumstances might be different. They may
right.
be more challenging. But you come in already with the, all right, this is a smart, reasonable lawyer. She knows what she's doing. She's not going to waste everybody's time. That's a real opening. You know, and it made me think, you know, you just before you were talking about how you get the opportunity to really parse sentences and things like that, which is really valuable. But on the other hand, I think it's one of the things that I think is something that we all, and maybe this just takes time and confidence,
mm-hmm.
right, where you feel more free to leave the language you know. and allow someone else's paper to be signed as long as it has the things you need.
Yes.
You know, so while if I get to draft for my own client from the start, yeah, we're going to make these sentences sing. But if, but I don't need to force my verbiage into somebody else's contract if their verbiage works.
Agreed.
Right? And so you both fall in love with your own words and don't fall in love with your own words, like at the same time.
Right. No, that makes absolutely perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, if you have enough, if you've spent the time to understand why the words that you choose matter, you then probably also know enough to know, well, these words work too.
Exactly.
And what I care about is a different paragraph. So I'm not waste time redlining this stuff. One, as you said, it costs the clients money. And two, it just pisses the other side off.
Right. Right? I mean, exactly. You know. Yeah, I know, because sometimes you can never predict how the other side's going to react. And that's the element where when clients are asking, I feel like sometimes for estimates, you can't always give one because there's that unpredictability.
Right.
But no, I absolutely agree with that approach.
Well, you know, this, and we were already talking about things that we're going to be able to do. You know, we had Gary Pearson was a guest a couple episodes ago. It's exciting to have him here. We've got other great young talent as part of this entertainment and media practice. And so there's really, I think, some cool stuff in the future. And one of the things that a way that I've been thinking about this, so this is tee up into a question to you, is, you know, I ask people all the time, and we ask on this podcast, what's on your screen? And the reason I say that, one, it's kind of fun to talk about, you know, because I make notes. Oh, I didn't know about that show. I had to put that one in the queue. If somebody really loves something, I'm going to go, well, maybe I got to go back and look at it again. But I also think sometimes I think of it, well, you know, what is, like right now, on, you know what's on my screen right now? A contract that I cannot get out of my, I'm doing this with. And sometimes that happens and it becomes, it's almost like the screen gets bigger and bigger until I'm like, okay, wait a second, let me just get in here and do this. And then, my screens open up to other things again. So sometimes it's that sort of, you know, work is on my screen. Or maybe you're developing something or maybe you're watching something. So I know you're a screen person. You have a whole sort of social media influencer life of your own. Right?
No, I don't.
No, I think people follow. I don't know.
I love that, though. That's so sweet.
But what is on Danny Durbin's screen? What is stopping your thumb from scrolling, or what are you watching at the end of the day when you need to just whew?
So right now, I've been really slammed with work. And so not too much has been on my screen. But one thing that I do, and I don't know if this is good or bad, I feel like I have more of a bad reputation for it. But people can contact you so much these days, right? Like now there's Instagram. They can message you, comment. There's Facebook, texts, call, email. I just like, I can't keep up. So I have all of my notifications except for phone and mail off. So I have to actually go into the apps to see if somebody's texted me or see if somebody's posted on.
Okay.
And that actually keeps me off it way more, I feel like. And then I'm able to focus on other things because I like to be present, I feel like, anytime. So when I'm with you here. But one thing that I recently got into, so my boyfriend is a huge TV movie guy and I'm more of a book person.
Okay.
But if you put a like legal show in front of me, I will watch that all day.
Really?
That or like
really?
A murder mystery.
All right.
So there's this new show called Jury Duty. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
It is automatically one of my top favorite, like The Office, Parks and Rec, it is up there. It is so phenomenal. So the premise is essentially there, it's a documentary, okay, that is filming a trial. And there are obviously 12 jurors. Well, 11 of them are actors. And one of them has no idea that it's
not a real trial.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
And one of the jurors happens to be James Marsden from like The Notebook. If you saw his face, you'd recognize him.
No,
and
I know who he is.
Okay,
I'm sort of hip. reasonably current. I don't know.
I just couldn't picture him when somebody first told me his name. But then as soon as like they showed me him, I was like, I know exactly who that is. But he is fabulous because he actually plays himself. So that's the other aspect of it is this juror who has no idea that this is all fake and set up is like, this actor thinks he's just so something like so special, right? Like getting special treatment. All that. So it is the funniest.
Wow. Okay.
You have to watch
this. This is great. This is why I asked the question.
Yes.
All right. And everybody out there, if you're not watching Jerry, so how do they find Jerry? We should get, I don't know, we can't get product placement, but somehow we'll
maybe
let the
one
folks
day.
Know. Maybe, right?
Yes.
Or maybe you could be the unknown juror or actor or whatever.
Although, in that instance, I feel like lawyers never get on juries.
No, they don't.
I wish.
No, no. I served on a jury one time the summer before I started law school. It's the only time I ever got to serve on a jury. Been called and said, thank you, no, but...
Right.
You know.
I wish.
So back to jury duty.
Yes.
Where do you find it?
So I believe it's on Amazon Prime. They've got, does Amazon Prime have a, I don't like Freevee, I think is like the name of it. And
yeah,
I don't know if it's like one of their subsidiaries. But
okay.
Yeah, so I think we accessed it through All Amazon right. Prime. I was just going to say a funny story because to like underline the fact that I don't really watch TV. When I started dating my boyfriend, I've got a TV in my bedroom. I hadn't turned it on in years. And so, like, when he first turned it on, it, like, didn't work. And I had no idea because I just don't really watch TV. So, but Jury Duty is a must-watch.
All right. Well, Jury Duty. See, that's why we ask, what's on your screen? And if you're in the comments, if you know Jury Duty or you have another show or something else you think we should watch, be sure and tell us. We'd love to hear from you. Well, this has been fun, Danny. I am so excited about you being here and the opportunities we have and to grow your practice and to work together for our entertainment clients and to talk about what's on screens. Will you come back?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Because I think that's the plan. So I thought
it
was Gary. You know, we've got a number of other guests that are sort of, I'd like to say they're all calling us and clamoring to be
on.
And there's a little bit of that, but it's more me calling them. But that's okay.
Yes. Well, next time you will have homework to watch Jury Duty. So we'll have to catch up on that.
Perfect. Perfect. And when you want to come in and talk to somebody that you're interested in, you come and sit in the chair. And
Awesome.
Right? Well, this has been great. Everybody, thanks a lot for joining us today on the Screen Lawyer Podcast. If you are so inclined, hit that like button and subscribe button down below. And join us. Check us out at thescreenlawyer.com, right here on our YouTube channel and on wherever you're listening to this podcast. We are very happy to be in your ears as you walk around or hang out or whatever you're doing. And let us know what's on your screen. Come back next time. Take care.
You've been listening to the Screen Lawyer Podcast with your host, Pete Salsic, the Screen Lawyer. For more information or to stay connected, find us on social at The Screen Lawyer or check us out at thescreenlawyer.com.